It's time to tantalize your taste buds. It's time to fork this with Intoxicate. Here is Kate.
Welcome to Fork This with Intoxicate and Happy New Year. I am your host, Intoxicate Kate Swantz, diving into all things delicious in Westchester and Fairfield counties. And I am so glad that you've tuned in on this holiday evening. It is the last Fork This with Intoxicate of 2019, and we have plenty on tap for next year that I am very excited about. So you're going to want to stick around to the end of the show so you can hear about some really cool experiences coming up, planned by yours truly. Now, I hope you are getting ready and gearing up for celebrating 2020 and ringing in the new year. If you do not have plans tonight, don't worry. I have plenty of tips and tricks for you of places to go, lots of fun ideas and places that still have availability. Now, if you're headed to White Plains or you're in the central location of Westchester, you want to check out BLT Steak. Of course, that's in the Ritz-Carlton, New York. It is Westchester's steakhouse, and that has a five-course evening planned for $175 per person. Lots of really fun stuff on the menu, like pan-seared scallops, of course, duck confit, filet mignon, and more. And dessert can close out the night with a triple chocolate cake, apple tart, or a classic New York cheesecake with cherry compote. So lots of fun things to do and dive into there. If you're headed into the Yonkers area, Dolphin Restaurant, Bar, and Lounge, which is, of course, on the Yonkers Riverfront, is planning an all-night party starting at 8:30 p.m. this evening, including a four-course dinner, 4 hours of open bar, party favors, a DJ with dancing, and more for $100 per person. Now, the first course includes things like crispy duck tacos, octopus risotto. They've got a raw bar oysters. And then, of course, you can dive into some of their really great, amazing menu items like Peruvian marinated chicken, jumbo imperial shrimp, and more. So a lot, you know, a lot of like fun stuff going on there. And if you're not up for the full meal, if you have dinner plans already but are looking for a fun spot to head to, you can pay $55.99 to grab a seat at the open bar and have some apps at the bar as well. Dubrovnik in New Rochelle, it's, of course, Westchester's favorite Croatian restaurant. They are planning an intimate dinner with seating and live music beginning at 7 p.m. this evening. This four-course price-fixed meal starts with a choice between cuttlefish ink risotto with shrimp, seafood trio, and more, or a raw bar platter with yellowfin tuna tartare, scallops, carpaccio, and oysters. For the second course, you're going to have things like a half lobster, a surf and turf, rotisserie lamb, ribeye steak, branzino, just tons to love there. I happen to love Dubrovnik. Really great spot for seafood. A lot of really amazingly authentic Croatian dishes. Now, that's going to be $120 per person in the main dining room, or just $100 for the wine and garden room with the DJ. It also includes a midnight toast and party favors. If you want to head over to Goose Feathers, they're going to be celebrating their first New Year's party as it's a new restaurant to the scene in Westchester. And it's going to have a four-course price fix menu. Seatings begin at 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. So if you're listening now, you might have missed the 6 p.m. seating, but at 9 p.m. for $175, they're going to have optional wine pairings, optional post-dinner bourbon and cognac sips with cigars and chocolate down by the fire pits. Lots of going on at Goose Feathers, so you can definitely check them out as well. Mediterraneo of White Plains is going to be breaking out the DJ and dance party starting at 9 p.m. and adds to the mix a four-course menu that'll keep you satisfied all night long. $150 gets you assorted hors d'oeuvres, appetizers, and entrees, and more. Lots of fun things going on in the White Plains area as well. If you're up in Armonk, Modern Barn, of course, has a nice three-course seat pairing. They have both earlier seatings and an evening seating from 8 to 11 p.m. That's $110 per adult, $55 for kids, and adds things like king crab sushi, braised lamb shank, lots of, again, fun stuff going on there as well. So lots of different places to go to. I know the Rare Bit has some really cool things going on. Linesio and Ardsley has some really wonderful things going on. So definitely check ahead ahead of time, because I know we're a little bit last minute talking about these things the evening of. See what they have availability. You know, the later seatings generally have openings versus the earlier seatings, because I think a lot of people try to go out to dinner and then head home. So if you're looking for a party, definitely check out any of the above and call in advance. Now, we have a great show lined up today. We have two very cool interviews with very interesting topics. First up, we have my friend, Chef Daniel Goulet, who's actually the chef at the country club that I belong to in the Poconos. If you have tuned into the show or follow anything on Intoxicate, you know I am there quite often. It's kind of like my home away from home. I love to escape to the Poconos on my weekends and kind of get a nice big breath of mountain air and kind of recenter myself for the week. And the Lords Valley Country Club is an amazing club in Hawley, Pennsylvania, in this really great gated community called Hemlock Farms. And my husband and I have this conversation all the time. One of the reasons why we joined the club was the food there. Chef Daniel is amazing, and he can pretty much cook anything underneath the sun. But what I really like about him is his real big attention to detail. He makes everything from scratch, and I love that about him. I love that he takes the time to really do these things. And he has launched this new, really cool company called Forestier, which I can't wait for you to learn more about. But he's basically taking that same sensibility and that same structure of what he does in the Lords Valley Country Club kitchen and applying it to this amazing new food product company. It's artisanal. It's wonderful. I just ordered a whole bunch from him for holiday gifts. I'm going to be ordering more for some corporate gifts because I just think it's a really fantastic idea. So I really think we have a really interesting conversation about what it looks like to be working in a kitchen and then moving into that food production world and what the differences are and what are some of the roadblocks that he faced and some of the things that came up. Because I think that's really interesting when you're thinking about a small business and how to launch it and what that looks like. Plus, I really want you to learn about this amazing product that I'm absolutely in love with. He makes delicious foods. So you want to make sure that you tune in and check that out. Also, we have Brad Nagy, one of the owners of Granita in Hartsdale. This is a really great conversation about a brand new restaurant in Westchester County that you definitely need to check out. You know, we're kind of looking at all these, you know, I think when we think about the year end, we look back and we see who are the newbies and who are the restaurants that we lost this year. Granita is definitely on the forefront of Westchester's dining scene in terms of the newbies that have come along. So it's a really interesting conversation with Brad. He is just an amazing restaurateur and knows so much about the restaurant industry. So talking about opening up or kind of relaunching a space into something new. So you definitely want to stick around to tune that out. And then of course, or tune that in, I should say. And then of course, we are rounding out the show with a really kind of look at 2020 when it comes to Intoxicate events. So make sure to stick around. You're listening to Fork This with Intoxicate on 1490 WGCH. Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I am your host, Intoxicate Kate Luntz, diving into all things delicious in Westchester, Fairfield counties, and beyond. And right now, I am in the Poconos. You know I talk about the Poconos a lot. I'm at my beloved Lords Valley Country Club, talking with Executive Chef Daniel Goulet. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm doing well. And I'm very excited to be sitting down with you today. And we're going to be talking about this new venture that you're doing because I think it's really exciting. But I first want to talk to you really briefly about how long you've been a chef.
Sure. I started my career actually at the age of 15 working in restaurants. And I'm 38 now, so quite a long time. It's been a long adventure and still plugging away at it and loving what I do every day.
I love what you do every day, too, I have
to
say.
Yeah.
You keep me here. We talk about that all the time. And one of the things I really like about you is that you are very hands-on with a lot of the things that you do here. You're making a lot of things handmade. Mm-hmm. And I also really like that you can pretty much do anything. I feel like some days I come in here and the scallops are amazing. And the next day I come in and the chicken parm's awesome. But then you're doing things like Asian food and you're doing sushi. So can you talk a little bit about like what your or how you were trained and maybe what your favorite cuisine is to kind of work with in the kitchen?
Sure. So I don't really have a favorite cuisine, but one of the things that I wanted to do my whole life was I just wanted to be a well-rounded chef. And so really understanding different ethnic foods, different cultures all over the world, and really trying to hone in on 3 to 4 dishes of those ethnicities and more. Obviously, it's very vast. But just being able to master the craft and be able to make different stuff. If I had to say, I really love Asian food, but I really love other things like artisan things that are kind of handmade, but also a lost art, things that chefs aren't really able to do anymore that they rely on other people to do for them. I think that's something that's kind of getting lost in the shuffle in the food business where, you know, for example, smoked salmon or gravlax, chefs don't really educate or want to educate themselves on how to make it because it's so easy to purchase from a big box vendor. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I love that you're hands-on about
Thank
that.
You.
And I will say, you pretty much catered our wedding, right?
Yeah.
And it's pretty much everything. Everyone talks about the wedding as the food, right? Everyone's like, oh my God, the food at your wedding. And I think that's different than a lot of people's weddings because I think the food is sometimes secondary, right? And I will say the one thing that I remembered after the wedding, and I hope you remember this too, is that we were at brunch with everyone the next day, and you came over and you handed Christian and I this like little package wrapped in paper. And I opened it up, and it's like literally my favorite thing on earth. The listeners will know what it is, but it was the sausage, right? Do you remember that?
I do remember it, yeah. Yeah, so it was something that that we were playing along with here. For the last few years, I really wanted to develop, just master the craft of charcuterie, making homemade sausages, understanding the curing, the aging process, obviously the seasonings that go into it, and how you can get unique different flavors from that stuff. So I definitely remember that. I remember putting that out on your wedding, and you know, I'm glad you enjoy it.
Well, we were really excited because I will say, you know, everyone says this and I didn't believe that it would happen for me because I'm an eater, but everyone's like, you're not going to hardly get any food, right? Because you're all over the place.
That's
you know,
kids.
Yeah, you're entertaining. Yeah. And I'm like, no. And thank God someone on staff literally like brought me over a plate of food because I was all over the place and I did have to sit down. But I was so glad that I got the sausages because one, it's my favorite.
Yeah.
And two, I missed them during the wedding.
Yeah.
So it was a really nice gift for us because we actually didn't have anything in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of nice to have, and I absolutely loved it. And then you recently launched a new business, okay? So you're kind of venturing into something else. You have Forestier LLC. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing with this.
Sure, absolutely. So for the longest time, my wife obviously saw these hidden talents, and you know, I knew they were there, but very busy working at the club. Just making different sausages and different delights, different desserts and things like that, chocolates and condiments. So one of the things that we wanted to do was start a small little business on some commercial property where we're making some smoke-dried cured sausages and just different flavor profiles, packaging them nicely, and able to ship them off in gift boxes for people during holidays or special events in their life. And it's been somewhat successful, and we're just trying to launch something and let it grow.
Well, it's very exciting when you told me, because you told me and you were asking me to take a look at the website,
mm-hmm.
and I immediately made a purchase, because I know you, so
yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I know, but I'll tell you why I did, and we'll be very like honest right now. One, I know what you can do. I've had your sausages before. I know they're delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the perfect gift, like the one thing I was missing for my dad. You know, we do always like a food thing, and I had bought him some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is perfect. And he loves your food too. So it was like just all around a win-win.
Thank you.
I want to dive into specifically what you're offering on the website. So can you talk a little bit about the specific products?
Yeah, so our smoked sausage line, we're just developing different flavors, but right now we have a couple traditional smoked, dried, cured sausages. They are somewhat shelf-stable if you know how to work with them, but they do come in a package. We do have a label on the box that says it is a perishable food item. Because it is fresh and all natural, there is potential for it to spoil, but most of the time people eat it pretty quickly and it's gone, doesn't have time for that. We're making a variety of different types of condiments. We have mustards, some relishes. We have a truffle olive tapenade, something that's very dear to me. I'm Pennsylvania Dutch, my family, so we make a Pennsylvania chow chow, and it's essentially pickled late fall vegetables with vinegar and sugar and salt, and essentially it's a preserved product. It'll last a very long time. And I love the products. They speak to me personally because they're all handmade. They're all just all natural, gluten-free products. So
I'm in. And they're also delicious. Why the name?
So Forest Deer, originally, it's obviously a French-Italian style name, and there's meanings behind it. It essentially means the woodsman. Mm-hmm. And Forest Deer, for me, I'm a hunter. So I love being out in the woods. I forage for mushrooms. We have a pretty decent piece of property at our house that we hunt on and stuff. And I originally opened up the business as a side business, butchering deer and doing meat fabrications. And so when I started to understand the art of making sausages and stuff, I wanted to kind of carry that name through because it seems nice, it seems appropriate. And because we're trying to grow some of the vegetables and things of that nature, we're doing it like they did in the forest.
I love that. I love the name. I have to say, I didn't know. And I want to talk to you because I know you've been, you said, a chef for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And moving into kind of food producing, how is it different? And what are some of the things that you kind of ran into that you were not expecting maybe?
Sure, absolutely. So trying to make food for food production for other places to use it. That's a big issue. It's not necessarily an issue, but there's time management involved. There's ingredients, there's materials involved. So one of the things that me and my wife have been trying to do with the business is really make everything handcrafted to the best and perfect to our ability. Mm-hmm. And really just trying to make something that's a good product and not really overwhelming ourselves with how much and how much volume we're doing, but making something good for people. And I think it's a really good outlet out there because there are people and chefs and restaurants and establishments that aren't able to make this stuff. And so it kind of fits you into a little niche that if you can make it for them and it's readily available, then you win.
I mean, what are the types of things that you have to have in a kitchen to pull something like this off?
Sure. So in our commercial kitchen, we have a smoker, we have a meat grinder, some food processors, something called a buffalo chopper. We also have a commercial stove in there. Obviously, we need all of the sinks for ware wash and things of that nature. Really, it's about a clean environment. So keeping everything clean, organized, labeled, refrigerators, some freezer space. You don't need a large amount of stuff. And again, you know, as the orders get large and we start doing more volume, who knows what might happen. But right now, it's working out really well.
And how long does it take to make a sausage? Because you know, like, I'm dying to get in there and just watch you do it.
Sure. Yeah, no, it actually is not that long at all. So we start out by taking a pork shoulder. They call it a pork butt. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a very neutral flavor to pork and a nice amount of fat to meat ratio. So it's perfect for sausage making. The sausage will ensure to be moist with the amount of fat in the pork butt. We cut it up, we grind it. That doesn't take very long. Once it's ground, we put it into a machine where it gets mixed and the emulsification happens. The emulsification is very important. A lot of chefs, when they make sausages, don't mix it enough. And what ends up happening is it is grainy or crumbly in the casing. So the emulsification between the fat and the protein is what really ensures that really nice texture to the smoked sausage. So once the meat is seasoned and put into the mixing bowl, we then got to taste it. So you always have to taste the sausage before it goes into the casing. Once it's in the casing, there's no going back. Mm-hmm. And then you waste food. So we taste it, make sure the flavor profile is correct, and then we put it into our sausage press. and we do a couple different diameters. We use a hog casing and a sheep casing. The sheep is going to be a little thinner for like a smoke stick, like a camping or hiking snack, if you will. And then the other one's a little bit fatter. And basically they smoke and then air dry till they're nice and dry, and kind of the texture of the skin shrivels up. If you know about smoked sausages, that real snappy skin on the outside, that's really what you're looking for. And the process really is about 8 hours to make a decent batch.
And to talk about you in comparison to some of the bigger guys out there, what would you say makes you different if someone's thinking about getting like a foodie gift for someone, or, you know, wants to, like you mentioned, go hiking and looking for a great snack?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I love that we do is we customize a lot of stuff. So if somebody wants something special, all they have to do is hit us up on the website. And my wife, she does a lot with the technology part of it. And so if somebody wants something special, all they have to do is just mention that they want a certain flavor profile, or they want to surprise someone with something, and we're able to do that. So it's not like we're making 100-pound batches of sausage and there's no wiggle room. We can manipulate it and change things and change flavor profiles and add unique stuff to it. Mm-hmm. We're actually just launching something, still kind of coming up with a name for it, but it's going to be a maple cheddar smoky. So it's a smoked snack stick that has maple and aged cheddar in it, and I'm trying to use some local sustainable products in the sausage, and it'll have a nice flavor profile for people, somebody who doesn't like spicy, or, you know, just the traditional. It's just different. So,
well, if you need a taste tester, you know where. Perfect. Like, I'm going to just add that to my list of credentials, like taste tester. And you mentioned your wife,
yes,
which I love that you're doing this together. How did that all kind of come about? You mentioned it a little bit before that she was kind of pushing you to do it. Like, how do you guys manage and wear these different hats at home?
Yeah. So, I am a chef at a country club. My wife is an online educator, and she really was pushing me to do this, just seeing the skill and the talent and loving the food, obviously, the product. One of the things for us is just working together helps us to get closer together. And, working a lot as a chef in the off season here, I'm able to kind of produce and do things with her. And we've gotten our two kids involved, which is really awesome. And the kids are starting to learn business ethics and understanding that it's not all about play. And sometimes we got to get down. So I love having my kids in the kitchen with me and helping me make some sausages. So. It's great.
I love that it's like a whole family affair.
Yeah.
And again, you know, moving from being a chef to kind of moving into this whole food production mm-hmm. business, did you feel like, you know, it was more difficult than you thought it was going to be? Was it, you know, some roadblocks that kind of surprised you or came up?
Yeah, there's definitely some roadblocks. As a small business, there's obviously licensing and permits that happen. There's obviously the supply and demand of, for example, the margins of in which you want to make money, mm-hmm. and then the packaging and the labeling that goes involved. They're all key things that you really have to think about. And so in the beginning, it wasn't really that important for us to be making money. It was just really about establishing something, launching something that we were passionate about and that we cared so much about. But certainly there's always things that kind of come into play with it, but you just kind of make adjustments and figure out what you need to do to make things better and push forward.
Well, I love it because I feel like you're very reasonably priced, first mm-hmm. of all. And then it's also this artisan and chef made and hands on.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you brought that up because I think a lot of people, especially in the food world, lose sight of how much things really cost mm-hmm. and how many things go into it, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you always get people that'll go out to a restaurant and be like, oh, I can make this for $5 at home. Why is it so much here?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And they're losing sight of mm-hmm. rent and paying staff and service and all that fun stuff. So I'm glad that you did bring that up with the packaging and the shipping and everything, because it does take a lot to of put a product out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. The packaging and the labeling seems to sometimes cost more than the actual product itself. The fun part is making the product and tasting it and getting recipes perfect. Sometimes you have to make a recipe 3 or 4 times before it comes out exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. But then when you start putting things into packaging and labeling and then the boxing and the shipping, it certainly, it adds on to the plate. And, like I said, we're not really in the business to try and make tons of money with it. We're just trying to establish something that we can have a legacy for our children and us to do. So.
And I also like that you've put so much thought into the packaging, because you and I were speaking before we kind of hopped on air about some of the things that you've been doing. And some of it I saw because my dad still had some things together. But I know it comes so beautifully packaged. Can you talk about some of the things that you've specifically done to kind of make it a little bit specialized?
Yeah. So all of the labels, my wife basically, made on the computer with different graphic design and things of that nature that play the part of the forester, the woodsman theme. So you'll see a nice white-tailed buck on the front, and it kind of has this like rustic feel to it with a bamboo plate, and the smoked sausage is sitting there, and then we do vacuum seal them for freshness. Because it is a perishable product, we do recommend that people refrigerate it a few days after receiving, unless they leave it sit out and let it kind of air dry nicely. But it'll last up to 3-4 weeks in the refrigerator packaged nice. And really, it's the kind of food that people can cook with, and they can also eat it with crackers and cheese. It goes well with many different things. I have some Spanish friends who like to make paella and different stuff with the sausage. We make a really spicy one, the ghost chili, which is great. You should try that one out. And it works out well, but the packaging is just very unique in itself. Years ago, I worked for a chef in New York City, and the way he presented the food sometimes was in a trophy manner. It made the food look so much more elegant the way it was presented and displayed to the people at the table. And I feel like the way we package the food makes you enjoy it before you've even tasted it, because you're looking at something and the clear jars, you get to see all the ingredients nicely. One of the coolest things about the one sausage we do is called the snack pack. We have a little tin of a homemade Bavarian honey mustard, and we serve a little bamboo fork with the sliced sausage vacuum sealed. So it's perfect for somebody who's going away on a traveling, camping trip, hunting, hiking, fishing, and they could just open the package and eat right out on the bamboo plate. So
it's my next road trip. I'm just gonna order from you. So I know we've enticed everybody. How can they order from you?
Sure. So we do have an Etsy page. It's Forester, and we also have the website, which is www.foresterdelights.com. And you could go right there. We offer free shipping. Through the holidays, we had a lot of neat deals. So we're always putting new products up online. So come and check us out.
And I'll make sure to share a photo on my platforms and then tag you so everybody can see your social media accounts and start following you there.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on today's show. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Fork This with Intoxicate on 1490 WGCA. Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I am your host, Intoxicate Kate Luntz. And of course, you know we love to dive into everything delicious right here in Westchester and Fairfield counties. And right now I am certainly doing that. I am in Hartsdale at Granita Cucina and Bar with my new friend Brad. Brad, how are you?
I'm good, Kate.
So you're owner and also partner of 810 Hospitality Group.
Yep.
All right. So how many restaurants fall under that category?
We have four now. We have two in Westchester, one in Manhattan, and one in Brooklyn.
All right. Well, before we dive into Granita and all the amazing food that I had here last night, I want to talk to you a little bit about the restaurant industry as a whole. Can you tell me the difference between Westchester and maybe outside of Westchester?
Completely different. How much time do you have? An hour?
It's a completely different animal, right?
Completely different animal. I mean, the behavior of diners in the city, even if they live in Westchester, when they dine in Manhattan is completely different. Because a lot of them work in Manhattan. They live up here. And the dining experience and behavior and what they expect and want is completely different.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, right?
It's very interesting because you would naturally think that, well, they a lot of them live here and work in the city, and they're used to the city, so they would want the same thing here or vice versa, and it's complete opposite. They have a complete different mentality when they come home, and want to go out. They still have high expectations and want certain things, but it's you have to tailor it differently, from the menu to the cocktails to the wine list. The whole thing's different.
And it's interesting because it's something as simple as going out to dinner, right? You think that everybody kind of steps into a restaurant wanting the same thing.
Yeah.
But it really is completely different. I don't think people really recognize that.
No, and I think too, being in the hospitality business, you really have to learn how to read the customer, because even multiple people coming into the same restaurant, they want different experiences. So
right.
Some people want to be left alone. It's a quiet anniversary. Some people are here to socialize. They want you part of the experience. Some people want to just have their experience and want us in the background. So there's multiple levels. It's what is the concept, what do they want, and then what do they want the specific group of guests that are in here when they come in.
Right. It's so true. And how do you guys kind of figure out where you're going to pop up and how you can speak to that audience? Like, are you doing some research? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, a lot of it really is talking to the guests. And there's nothing better than when you're in the restaurant, chatting with people, getting a read on the neighborhood and the mm-hmm. market and what customers are looking for. Even here at Granita, talking to the guests, we've just been open a short time. But you could see the difference in what these customers wanted from our prior restaurant that was here in the same location. And so we heard what they were looking for in this neighborhood. We kind of had a feel for it, which is why we came up and put Granita here in this location.
And why was it important for you to stay here?
Well, we've been here about 10 years. We had a concept here called Frankie and Finucci's for mm-hmm. 10 years. And we knew the neighborhood well. The neighborhood knew us. And we just felt like it was time for a refresh. And we felt like the clientele and customer base around here with the surrounding towns was perfect for this kind of concept.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, well, let's just renovate it and put in Granita into this space.
And so what exactly is the concept? How would you describe Granita?
Well, we kind of call it, I'd say, upscale casual. Mm-hmm. So it's still kind of a casual, because I think that's what a lot of people want in Westchester, mm-hmm. is a casual experience that they could either go out for a quick and easy bite or come out for a special event. And we call it modern Italian. So it's a little bit of, we modeled it very much after our restaurant in the city in the West Village called Soto 13, which was kind of a hip, upbeat vibe
mm-hmm.
with modern Italian cuisine, great cocktail program, great bar,
mm-hmm.
And bring that here in the form of Granita.
So modern Italian cuisine, just so people can kind of get it in their heads what that looks like, they're stepping in and kind of dining on what?
Well, the menu ranges everything from, you know, the antipasti has things like octopus to arancini rice balls.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the menu items will have, we'll call it more Italian influence. It's not your traditional Italian menu, not a lot of red sauce type stuff. So it's very clean, light, seasonal. The chef comes up with all sorts of different seasonal ingredients and uses them, things that are local.
Mm.
And so we have kind of the basic dishes, but for example, like our pork chop milanese will be a bone-in pork chop with marsala mushrooms and watercress, pomegranates, and elderflower vinaigrette.
So glad you brought that up, because I would say for me, dining last night, I was here invited for a media dinner, dined with a couple of influencers in the area, and that was the standout dish for me.
Was it? Yeah.
That pork was pretty bang.
Yeah, good. I enjoy it too. I mean, but it's kind of like how we'll do a little spin on it as opposed to a traditional Milanese dish, which is a
right.
breaded cutlet with a big salad on it. We give it a little bit of a modern contemporary spin on it to make it what we'll call modern or contemporary Italian.
And believe it or not, because, you know, you're thinking of a pork chop, and it's, you know, a breaded pork chop, and it's pork Milanese, you know, pounded thin and everything, but to me, it was a very light dish, which was a surprise. It was a nice surprise. I didn't really feel like I needed to be rolled out of here after dining on all the things that we did, and you threw a lot at us. But everything was really, really delicious, really amazing.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. And I think that's the key, too, with kind of this cuisine, is people don't want heavy dishes anymore. They're eating lighter and healthier today. They want flavor,
mm-hmm.
but they want it to feel good after they're done eating and experience bunch of different courses, different flavors, great rich food, but not have that heavy feeling after.
Agreed. And I think the other thing, too, is that you have a lot of things that are kind of shareable, too. Like with, you know, the pizzas, and let me tell you, that pizza with the Brussels sprouts and the squash.
Oh, yeah.
Knockout. Like,
and vegan.
Oh, exactly.
And vegan pasta.
So I didn't even know what the whole thing is vegan, so it's not cheese.
No, we make a cashew cream base and then do the roasted vegetables on top from the wood burning oven. We roast them in the oven and put them on top of the pie and then finish it with a little spicy maple syrup.
Oh, so I have to add, I'm literally writing a vegan piece, like my favorite vegan dishes. Now I have to add that to the list.
Yeah.
I had no idea the entire thing was vegan.
Yeah, it's popular. Everybody's, particularly in the city, we haven't seen it as much in Westchester, but in Manhattan, it seems like every woman in Manhattan is vegan. So they all come in and we have to come up with more vegan options.
Yeah, clearly the girl over here is like, the pork dish was the standout.
Exactly. My kind of girl.
I don't think you're going to get a make a vegan out of me ever, but that's so great. And so, you know, working with the menu here, you have something that's a standout for you? Is there a dish that you're like, you know, everyone has to come in here and try it?
Well, there's a couple things on the menu that I like. I like the pork very much. Believe it or not, I don't eat chicken a lot out at restaurants. I really like the chicken dish here because we brine it. It's a French cut chicken breast and it's very tender. And we put it over a sprouted rye berry salad with fava beans and tomato confit and au jus.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the chicken dishes really stand out. There's so much on the menu that I love. But the biggest, most popular two dishes for our pastas, which are all fresh pastas, is the spicy lamb sausage with octopus and rigatoni.
Also very good. Had that last
night. And everybody loves the gnocchi with short rib ragu. And also, speaking of light, I heard last night a lot of people that had that dish feel like the gnocchi were very light. They weren't those big, heavy lead balloons. They were very light and fluffy.
But they were pillowy.
Good.
You know, you have to get like a pillowy gnocchi, right? You have to. It's got to be soft and mushy and lovable.
Exactly.
Let's talk about that cocktail that everybody was drinking, because you have this beautiful bar, and this is brand new to the space,
we
right?
Yeah, put this in the space, yeah.
This is amazing, and I see that you have a whole lot of beer behind the bar as well.
Yeah, we did 16 taps, a nice beer selection, nice wine selection, and cocktails as well.
I love it. The cocktail last night was this amazing strawberry gin.
Part-time lover.
The part-time lover.
Everybody went for it.
Yeah, everyone went for it. I'm saving my post till when we post our interview. And I think it's going to be like everybody needs a part-time lover.
I think they're all looking for a part-time lover.
I feel like that's what it's going to be.
That's it. It was so many people. It was so many red drinks floating around. Clinging, clang, it was awesome.
It was awesome. And I'll tell you, like, coming into it when I see a sea of red drinks and I see a strawberry, like, I'm like, it's going to be some kind of daiquiri. I'm, like, not into it.
Right.
I'm not a sweet drink girl. I like, you know, really nice, like, old fashions. And so that was, like, surprisingly not, like, this sweet. It was, like, the gin was perfect. Like, it was just a very, like, well-put-together cocktail. Not too sweet, not too sour. Like, perfect.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is gin is really hot right now again. And a lot of people say they don't like gin necessarily, but when they try that cocktail, they really enjoy it because it's not an overpowering gin flavor. It's just a really nice, well-balanced cocktail. So
you wouldn't know there was gin in there. You really wouldn't know.
Yeah, it's been really popular. Hands down, the best-selling in the first week we've been open, we can't make enough of that stuff. It's awesome.
It's the name, though.
Yeah,
it's the name.
Sure it
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. It's a good name. I think we lucked out.
Did you guys, like, what's the process in terms of coming up with cocktail names? Like,
whoever in our group, kind of, we have a couple guys that really love or into mixology, and they kind of come up with a lot of cocktails, and we'll collaborate a little bit, and sure enough, someone comes up with some name, and it sticks, and it's like, that's it. That's what we're going to do. Put it on the menu.
It's the best. I mean, you know, it's very important to a cocktail to have a good name.
It is.
Because people want to say it out loud.
They do. They want to order. Give me a part-time lover. And you can get two part-time lovers for $13 at happy hour, too.
Love that. All right, when is happy hour?
4 to 7 daily.
4 to 7.
Every day.
Okay, 4 to 7 daily, 2 for 1.
Two for 13 cocktails, 2 for 13 wines, and then we do 2 for 10 drafts.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Any food specials with happy hour?
Yeah, we have a nice little bar menu with a whole bunch of bar snacks on it, which is available at the bar exclusively, and it's really nice.
I'm digging this. And then what are your hours? Because this was under debate last night, and I'll tell you why in a second.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we're open for lunch and dinner every day.
Okay.
And then the hours, we open for 11:30 a.m. for lunch, and then we close weeknights at 10.
Okay.
And then weekends at 11.
All right. Because you know when you put your Google Maps in?
Yes.
It comes up with the hours.
What did it say?
7:30 p.m.
You know why it said 7:30 p.m.? Because I'm on top of my game, Kate, because we had a private party here for you guys.
So you changed it
just
for us.
I changed the hours so guests that wanted to come would know that we were open at 7:30.
I love you about that's amazing. That you're just going in and making it.
What happens if your customer puts in Google Maps, they show up, and we say, oh, no, sorry, we're closed.
We're
at least I figured to put it in the hours, update Google real time. Give them a chance.
That's so nice of you. So are you doing also private parties? Because, you know, it's holiday season, so... private parties, you're available.
Yeah, we have a really nice party program and packages, nice menus for it. So we'll do parties in the space. We already have a bunch booked. We're doing one tonight, wedding rehearsal, and we've got a lot of inquiries for holiday parties, like you said.
And how big or how many people can you?
We handle about 60 people in
the space.
That's
a good size.
That's a good size.
Good size.
Yep.
And I want to also talk about, I know we spoke very quickly about the bar and how you renovated the bar. What else changed in this space for people who are very familiar with Frankie and Finucci's? So what else is different?
So what we did was we were able to utilize a lot of the infrastructure in the space. So the kitchen stayed the same and the, you know, the bathroom stayed the same. So what we did was we ripped out half the restaurant, put in this whole new bar in here, mm-hmm. and then changed the exterior facade. And then we had our designer that did our Manhattan restaurant come up. And she really redecored the whole rest of the space. It's all new wall coverings, booths, table settings, mm-hmm. all the new plateware, and china's all different, glassware's all different. So it was a pretty substantial renovation that we did, and mm-hmm. she was really great to help us out with that.
Well, I also have to say, Brad, that you're on the top of a lot of things, in addition to your Google hours, because I want to say, and I hate to almost talk about it because I don't want to ruin the surprise, but I heard, a little birdie told me, that at the end of the night when you receive your check, you get a little something-something.
Yes, you do. If you're good, you get a little granita, which granita is a popular Italian dessert typically. We did our own little spin, which we turned it into a frozen slushy cocktail. So we do a limoncello granita that we serve complimentary every guest that comes in as kind of a little gratis thank you from us.
Okay, so I want to talk about this because not a lot of restaurants do stuff like this. You're not going a lot of places and getting a lot of things for free anymore, unless you're counting the bread that you get before
right.
you kind of dive in. So I love that. So I kind of want to ask, why was that important to you to do, and why at the end of the meal?
Well, I think it was kind of it's kind of a nice gesture in hospitality. Just it's a simple little thing that we can do. It's mm-hmm. a nice thing. It's different. And I think when you bring it over to a table, they kind of really appreciate it because we appreciate them coming in. So mm-hmm. when you do something like that in any kind of form or factor, and when we could do it with that little granita spin and tie it into the restaurant name, and we always liked the frozen cocktail, our spin on the granita. So we said, you know what, let's just make it part of the program that we do here.
Well, I love it's the namesake of the restaurant. And I love that it's kind of the last thing that you get because I think it's going to leave a lasting impression on people.
Yeah, that's the goal too, is, you know, kind of, it's a nice thing. It's about smiles and thank yous on the way out. But if it leaves them with a lasting impression that they had a good evening at the restaurant, mm-hmm. that's what you want. You want them going home and feeling like that was a really fun experience.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And again, I can't say enough about the food last night.
That's
it was
awesome.
Really fantastic. Lots of photos posted now on intoxicate.com. So you can kind of dive into everything we're talking about visually, both on Intoxicate and on Instagram. Anything else, Brad, that you kind of want to let people know about?
Well, we have reservations available. We'll be doing brunch probably the new year right after the holidays. We'll start offering that.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of inquiries on brunch. We do a brunch program in our restaurant in the city, Soto 13, which mm-hmm. is kind of fun. We do what's called a social brunch, which is pretty neat.
Oh.
It's a family-style brunch experience and pair it with really creative brunch cocktails. So we're hoping to bring that here to Westchester, too.
All right, I'm into it. Keep me posted.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Fork This with Intoxicate on 1490 WGC.
Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I am your host, Intoxicate Kate Plunce, diving into all things delicious in Westchester and Fairfield counties. And I am so thankful you are spending the last couple of hours of 2019 with us right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, we have a very exciting 2020 coming up. And I, first of all, just want to wish you a very happy new year and all the best and healthy and happy in 2020. But I have been planning for the past month, just gearing up for the next year and all things that we're going to do to live life deliciously with Intoxicate events. And I have a bunch of things that I'm very, very excited about that I kind of want you to save the date for. First and foremost, we are officially launching Intoxicates Cocktail Club every month next year. The first one kicks off Tuesday, January 21st at the Rare Bit in Dobbs Ferry. We'll have that ticket sales up soon on intoxicate.com where you can kind of reserve your spot. We only have about 25 spots available. So this is a very intimate kind of get together. And it's for those of you who are looking for a little bit more, something a little bit more social. Maybe you don't have time to read books, so you can't really join your book club, but we have a cocktail club instead where we're really kind of going to expand all of our palates and expand our knowledge in the spirits world. Sometimes we're going to be focusing on a spirit brand. Sometimes we're going to be talking about wine. Sometimes we're going to be talking about beer. But the real purpose of this is to kind of open our minds a little bit and thinking, or drinking, I should say, outside of the box. I know a lot of us go to the bar or go to our favorite restaurants and order the same thing time after time after time. And I think it's really fun to be able to learn about something new and to taste it on its own, and then to learn how to make a few cocktails and taste those to see how you may like it and how different things change the flow profile of a specific spirit. So I think this is going to be a really fun hands-on event that we're going to be doing every month. Again, the first one is Tuesday, January 21st at the Rare Bit in Dobbs Ferry. They have a really great cocktail program there. So it's a perfect spot to kind of kick this off. And we will have details and tickets up soon on intoxicate.com. Also, later that month, on the 30th, I will be at Lord & Taylor in Scarsdale for a speaking event. I was asked by Jenna, the marketing director there, to be part of their Dynamic Women of Westchester panel, which I'm very excited about. And that's going to be Thursday, January 30th at 6:30 p.m. Of course, again, that's going to be at the Lord & Taylor in Scarsdale. And we're going to be talking about all things, professional life for women. We're going to offer some advice. We're going to offer some local resources. And we're going to kind of tell our own stories and how we got to be where we are today. And I'm really honored and just completely humbled to be asked to speak at this event. And I am literally on the panel with a bunch of really wonderful women. So stay tuned for that. That'll be a free event, again, January 30th. It's a Thursday at 6:30 p.m. And then coming up in February, we have another really fabulous event at Bloomingdale's in White Plains, and that's going to be a Spirits and Sparkles event. We're going to have a little cocktail party Tuesday the 11th, again, at Bloomingdale's in White Plains. And we're still kind of in the preliminary stages of planning what that's going to specifically look at. But, of course, you can expect nothing but the best from Sparkly from Bloomingdale's and nothing but the best in Spirits from yours truly. And again, we're going to have some past appetizers and sell tickets in advance for that as well. So we have a lot of really cool things planned coming up. I also am going to be teaming up with Melissa Tomlin of 914 Pop-Ups in March on the 12th. That's a Thursday. We have a really cool event that we're in the preliminary stages of planning with that. And that's going to be a really fun one in White Plains. So you know what? Put all these dates in pencil in your calendar, and as soon as I have more information, we'll get it up and running and rolling out, and you'll be privy to it all listening right here at Fork This with Intoxicate. Listen, this show went by in a blink of an eye. I have to go get ready for my own New Year's Eve party, but I want to wish you the very best again, happy and healthy in 2020, and I hope you live life deliciously.